In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I don't care very much about this gospel, and I don't care very much about the book of Revelation. As you know from this gospel, you just listened to me pray. You know that the things that were spoken of did not come true. We are still awaiting the parousia, are we not? The Lord's second coming. We're still waiting for many things. It hasn't happened. And the book of Revelation, well, you know all of the things that are mentioned in there that, well, some, and for those especially who are not those of God, Revelation is horrific. And I want to remind you, the word revelation comes from the Greek word apocalypse, which means unveiling. We think of the word apocalypse like tragedy. It's only tragedy for the people without faith. It's glory for the people with faith. They're waiting for this day. They're waiting for the sheep to go to the right and the goats to go to the left. They're waiting for justice. They're waiting for the glory of God to be present. They're waiting for His manifest love to imbue them and for Him to recognize them as His lovers. Because He is truly the bridegroom. He is truly Nymphaeus. But why I don't care about these things is because I'm old. Don't you know that I'm not going to be here in a few years? My apocalypse is coming. My revelation is coming. All of these things that were mentioned now for me are coming. They are each day becoming a more evident reality. I'm going to die. And for me, it's a gathering. It's like if somebody said to you that you loved very much, come and be with me. Come now. Run. I'm not that capable of running anymore. I'm not even that capable of standing anymore. But I would run as quickly as I am able. And I would stand for as long as it took to be gathered into that. But these days, and I don't know why the fathers have chosen not to use the first two verses in this gospel. But the disciples of Christ were looking at all the beautiful buildings in Jerusalem, and especially the temple. And it was a marvel to them. And the Lord said, you marvel at this? Well, the people who have already died, in all, I'm talking about all of the great fathers of the church, all of them, they are of one mind when they interpret the scripture. What is the great edifice that the Lord has made? What is the tabernacle that the Lord has made? It's us. Where does the Lord dwell? Where is His place? It's within us. It's our soul. Or not. You may exclude Him. You may even expel Him once He had been inside because you're not comfortable with Him. You know, I don't like old people. That's ironic, isn't it? Because I'm 77, soon to be 78. I don't like old people. Do you know what old people do? They complain all the time. They complain and they complain and they complain. And guess what? At the end they say, Lord, take me. Well, I asked all these old people, why would He want to take you? When you were young and you were strong and you were beautiful, when you had a good voice instead of an old creaky voice, when you could stand and you were flexible and you could make matanyas, you didn't give yourself to the Lord. You didn't give yourself to His service. Now you're old and useless and broken down. Hey, you want that old car that's parked in front of my house? You can have it. My daughter used to drive it. I'm telling you the truth. There's an old car in my driveway, and if anybody wants it, you can have it. My daughter doesn't want it anymore. She drives a really nice brand new Lexus. But this old car got her around. But now it's just old. You see, you should have given yourself when you were young. Now, it's not too late to give yourself, but have respect and humility when you give yourself when you're old. Because remember, you're not worth very much. You pay something for a new suit. How much do you pay for an old suit? How much are you worth? So when you go to God and you say, Lord, Lord, you say, please, Lord, such as I am, worthless as I am, uncommitted as I have been, I now ask that you receive me, please. I found out too late. I am ashamed and I am embarrassed. I didn't give myself to you when I was young. Now that I'm old and nobody wants me, no one is attracted to me, and no one is attractive to me. So I don't want that part of life anymore. Food doesn't taste that good anymore. My smell has diminished, my sense of smell. I don't see that well either, and my hearing, I think, is going. Beyond that, you know what else? I forget even the basic prayers that I was taught by my fathers of confession. My very first prayers. I forget the words now. But take me, Lord. Take me. Well, you know, there's one thing that I'm counting on. And that's the Lord's sense of humor. Because if he has a sense of humor, he's going to say, yeah, you're pretty much broken down. You're pretty much useless to the world, to your family. Your friends have all but died. So, yeah, you still are worth something to me. He's your father, after all, and he loves you. But the church wants you to reflect not just on the diminution of your capacities when you offer them to the Lord. The church is saying, you may have some more years. You can make them as vibrant as you can. Isis, the wife of great engineer, Nagi Fuad Yusuf. Her mother taught me how to make a matani. Her mother. I was out in St. Mark's Church. I had moved from outside of the pew and I was in the aisle and I bowed down. And I put my hands flat on the floor like this. And she said, no, that's not the way. I said, what is the way? She said, make your hands like this. With your thumb and your index finger, make the sign of the cross and come down on the knuckles of each hand. And then she said, behind you, cross your feet. So there is a cross in front of you and there is a cross behind you, and the devil cannot find any entrance to you when you are making this prostration, and he knows that the prostration cannot be confused by anyone, because this prostration is for God alone, because you've made the sign of the cross with your whole body. This was an 80-year-old woman. Isaac Gindi, his wife's name is Gina. Her mother, I used to think he was going to have a stroke when she met me. I would come into the church, and if she had preceded me in the church, she'd go, ah, 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 ah. I know, I was trying to tell her, calm down. Calm down, please calm down. She couldn't speak any English. He couldn't speak a word of English. And my Arabic to this very day is terrible. But the communication was there. Her love of seeing a priest who didn't know anything, a priest who didn't have any experience, a priest who, if he didn't have anything or had some experience, couldn't share it with her, but one who had chosen to go to the altar. And she was so happy. So, your old age, my old age, may still have some flourish in it. It may still be like the unexploded firework that goes up in the sky, and you hear the whistle as it goes higher and higher and higher, and you wait for the explosion and the burst of light. That may be what is left for me, or it is left for you. So in that day, the church says, remember these things. Remember these things. These things are all going to come to pass. Now, I want to tell you this. There are a lot of various issues that we could speak about theologically. This is rich, very rich theologically. But my main intent is that every year, for the last 2 weeks of the year, the church reminds us about our finitude. Not just coming to a fiscal period of spiritual time, where in this period of time we assess what we've done in the past year and look forward to the things that we can repeat that were good and that we can put aside if they were bad, and things that we can replace with the bad which are good to make our good even gooder. I like to use words like that once in a while. Gooder. It makes sense. We should reflect that the Lord Himself, when He speaks to us in great humility, and remember, our Lord hungered, our Lord thirsted, our Lord got tired, our Lord, He suffered, our Lord, when He saw us, He wept. So when the Lord says, no one knows but the Father what the time is going to be when all these things will come to pass, He's speaking in the entirety of His humanity. Jesus is God. He knows everything that was going to come to pass. There's a word that was described in one of the books that I read, and the word is simultaneity. Simultaneity. For the Lord Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all a singular vision. Sometimes we have a glimpse of this in our dreams, whether it's a dream at night or a dream during the day, a sound, maybe some music, maybe a smell, something will remind us and will take us to a place in our past. Now, we cannot go to the future. That alone is for the Lord. But we have a glimpse so that when I speak to you about these things, you can know what simultaneously can be affirmed through time. Simultaneity. It's a word that I've never heard before. But it's very clear, and its intent is to let you know that people who distract themselves from the honesty of the confession of Christ and go into the horrible blasphemies of His persecutors say that, well, this is proof that God the Father and Jesus the Son are not equal. Because here's an obvious power that the Lord Jehovah has, that this creation, I'm speaking now as a Jehovah's Witness, has not. Look, you know God made man. God made man in one place. But then he dispersed. The name Adam, I told you this last year. If you take the word of Adam, and you take each one of the letters, you have Anatol, A. Dysis, D. Arctos, A. Mesembria, M. East, West, North, and South. Adam, humanity, not just the name of the first person, but of all humanity, dispersed. Why did the Lord say all these things to the disciples who didn't get to see the things that he talked about? Because they were going to be the ones who gave us the narrative that is in the Gospels that we read. He gave these things to them for us. They did not leave. They did not live to see the tearing down of the temple in 70 AD, and again in 132, two destructions of the temple, whatever was left by Hadrian, another Roman Caesar took in hand to destroy. They didn't see that. As a matter of fact, it's postulated that St. Cyril, he knew very well about the time had not yet come, because the floor of the temple was still intact. He taught there. The catechetical lectures were given in Jerusalem. And he was very familiar with this. But you see, it's going to be exactly as the Lord has said, just not in our time. So what is your time? And what is my time? And what are we going to do with the time that we have left? These are the inquiries of the church into each one of our souls individually. What are you going to do? How long have you lived? How many psalms have you memorized? I will bet that I know, not the complete lyrics, but I know the melodies, let's put it that way. I know the melodies. 10,000 psalms. You can test them. I know psalms. You don't know this. Perhaps I was a musician. But even if I weren't and hadn't been a musician, I listen to the radio. How many songs? You know, I mean, and classical music, jazz, rock and roll, every genre of music. How many psalms do I have memorized? Maybe a couple of dozen. That's kind of puny. That's kind of puny. Why do I have only a couple of dozen psalms? Well, I can tell you that I wasn't trained that way. I could tell you that my father, who taught me, didn't teach me in this fashion. He taught me meanings, not memorization. But you know, if you go to some places, memorization is something that is inculcated from the very beginning of preschool. So, do I have an excuse? Hardly. But what do I have going forward? I have the zeal to add those 2 dozen songs. I want to be better. And I hope when you pray for me, that you pray for me to be better. I hope you pray for me to improve. Not just for your sake, but for the sake of my own soul. I hope that I will be acceptable to God in my old age, and not just this run down wreck of a human being who has exhausted themselves in all kinds of things that were extraneous to the single purpose for which we were born, which is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ eternally in his kingdom. So, Father Arsenius next week will give you a kind of nuts and bolts explanation. explanation and theological explanation about some of these very major issues. I simply wanted to make it personal. It took me a long time as I was meditating on what I was going to say to arrive at this conclusion. But I think the main thing to know is that however it is that we find ourselves, we can still work for some improvement. I've known people who were quadriplegics. I went to college with a kid who was 6'2" and 200 pounds, and he was coming in on his surfboard in 2 feet of soup. That's the frothy kind of a little tiny wave that pushes a surfboard forward. His board hit a sandbar and he fell forward. And as he fell forward, awkwardly, he hit his head on the sand and he broke his neck. And from then on, any way that he wanted to get around, he had to blow through a tube. This very young man, you know, there's a great poem. I know you're not going to read it, but I like to let you know that I read it. It's called Ode to an Athlete Dying Young. It's very plaintive. The flower of youth plucked for no good reason except to show just how all of us are equally vulnerable. The person that you never thought you would ever see have something like this happen to them. For the people that are really old, when they first had glass, fiberglass poles for pole vaulting, John Pennell was using I don't know, is it kind of like a bound bamboo pole? And so was Brian Sternberg. Brian Sternberg was about 8 years his junior. John Pennell was the best pole vaulter at the time. And this is, I'm talking about 1964. You can Google this. I love the fact that there's Google, because that you will know that every single word I say to you is true. Brian Sternberg was consistently beating him because pole came in at the same time, the fiberglass pole, for both of them. And Sternberg was a little bit more athletic. And John Pennell was kind of set in his ways, his running, his way he lifted himself up on the pole. It was a different thing altogether. Brian Sternberg was practicing balance on a trampoline. And he would jump into the air probably 10 feet above the trampoline. He came down awkwardly and he hit his head and he cracked his neck. And from that day on, a quadriplegic. These are people that at the time I was very much into track and field. I was a member of the track team in my high school. And so I'm telling these stories, they're very old stories, but they're poignant stories because they're not made up. They're things that I witnessed. What then was the reaction of both of those people having been stripped of everything that comprised their identity? They took all of the energy and they took all of the passion and they redirected it. So that even when you're old, or middle-aged, or young, you can take this passion, you can take this energy, you can take this power, and redirect it to Jesus Christ. And if you're willing to do that, you will bring glory to His name and the certainty of acceptance to your soul. Glory be to Him, both now and ever, and to the age of all the time.